Esports. What are they? The best fit answer is competitive video gaming at the professional level. Universities like Harvard, Florida State, and UC Berkeley have esports teams whose members are considered student athletes, complete of course, with academic scholarships, and online streaming viewership that rivals the Super Bowl. Yet these games remain limited to the digital space, which begs the question, should esports even be considered sports? This is Infinity Media Podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is Infinity Media Podcast, abbreviated IMP.
I'm Phil Mateo.
And I'm Chris Papastefanu. And today we're delving into the world of esports. So why is it that we're even posing the question of whether competitive video gaming should be considered a sport?
Well, based off of that, I take it you don't consider them sports, do you, sports guy?
I mean, I hate to be the old guy telling esports to get off my lawn, but...
Get off my lawn.
Esports are video games based in a fictional world, and there's no real-world basis for a 5-on-5 battle to the death to improve your overall rank, like in League of Legends for starters.
Well, why does it have to be based in reality? Why can't it be based in fiction?
Because every competition defined as a sport known to man this far has some grounding in the real world.
Oh, come on, man.
Phil and I were getting nowhere fast with our discussion, so we enlisted the help of Max Mallow, an esports editor and on-air talent with DoubleTap, an online esports website. First, we discussed the obscurity of esports in the mainstream.
I mean, the stereotypes are always going to be there. I think I just want people to know, like, when they hear the word esports, they know what it is. I don't have to say to them, what's esports? Because, you know, I've written numerous college papers just like esports, comma, or competitive gaming. Right? Like, I don't want to have to explain to somebody what esports is. Like, they should know, like, oh, esports is competitive gaming. I don't know what games they are, but I know that there's money in it. You know, millions of people watch it. Shaq has a team. So if Shaq has a team, you should care. Yeah, I mean, the stereotypes always be there that they're pimply nerdy kids in their bedroom. But yeah, I don't know. Oh my God, every time I hang out with my grandmother, I love her to death. Like, what do you do? And I'm just like, you know, Nana, I love you, but I have a job. I have a job. I'm doing well. And... yeah, thank you for supporting me when I was a kid and buying me all the video games I wanted, because it led me to here. That's all she has to know.
And then we asked him the big question. Should esports be considered a sport?
I just don't think it's necessary. I think it's just a title that would be, like, esports will be fine whether or not it's called a sport or it's not a sport. It's just like a whole, you know, do we want to call it this or that? It doesn't matter.
As far as Max's feelings for the future of esports, it's uncertain yet optimistic.
To answer your question, in 5 years, I mean, the numbers will continue to grow. How the Overwatch League is moving forward with franchising and having Robert Kraft and the Will Pons and Shaq and A-Rod and everybody in esports, I think it's going to take some time for that franchise, because they're going to move to a city-based format where they will be traveling to cities to play at arenas, but right now it's still localized in LA. You know, it might go to that, it might become that, but to me it's a little silly to fly some gamers out to a city to play some video games. It's different for the Jets to fly somewhere to go play somewhere else, but I mean... there's so many brands in esports now that's like, I don't know what I could, like Audi, Bud Light, Buffalo Wild Wings, I said already. I mean, I don't know where it's going to go from there.
It's postmortem time.
Yay, postmortem time.
What'd you learn, Chris?
So there was a lot there, but mostly what I took away from that interview with Max Mallow was that he draws a clear divide between sports and esports.
All right, I'll give you that he does separate the two, and that's fine. But that isn't all that he said. He mentioned that the popularity of esports can only increase. Eventually, it's going to penetrate the mainstream, and when that happens, it's going to bleed over into sports media if it hasn't already. So at that point... do you really want to be all Clint Eastwood about this?
I think I'm going to stick with the Clint Eastwood take on this. I don't see how similar growth trends make them one and the same.
Ah, but we're in America where nothing matters except money. So esports is making so much money, if not more, than traditional sports. So I think they're the same, my friend.
I think we need the opinion of a sports media professional on this.
I got the feeling that I had Chris on the ropes with our discussion, but I also knew that we needed someone who was more connected to sports and media than either one of us. Luckily, we were able to snag an interview with Dominic Ridgard, an associate producer at NBC Sports whose department streamed the grand final for Rocket League, a game that combines soccer, racing, and explosives for the craziest, hectic matches that you can possibly imagine. We began our interview with Dom by asking him how he felt about esports as a whole.
I think it's great, you know, just as a kid of, I guess you would say, modern technology. Like, I remember having, you know, Super Nintendo that still works, you know, me and my buddies used to play at least, you know, a lot of the games that are, you consider kind of sports simulation games. So I think any kind of progression in that area is really cool. You know, it's something that's gotten super competitive. It's something that you see on television now. It's just another way that people can kind of compete, come together, and enjoy a similar experience. So, yeah, I think it's awesome.
Dom's answer got us thinking about the meeting where Rocket League was introduced as NBC's entrance into esports.
Sure, yeah. It wasn't a very big meeting that I was in, but it was something where the concept was brought up, and it was kind of a confusing tone in the room. You know, some people weren't sure, like, why necessarily. But the main thing is, once an audience is established, everybody's more than willing. You got to know people are there to watch what product you're putting on. Like, that's a big thing. If there's a market for it, if there's an audience for it, that means it will be consumed, and that means it can be monetized. You know, and that's really the big thing. So despite what preconceived notions there were, once the audience is established and once you know there's an established audience, you know, it becomes, how can we put on the best product possible?
It's clear that the demand for esports was met and rewarded, not only with the attention of the viewers, but with their wallets. And NBC certainly didn't mind teaming up with Twitch, the preeminent streaming site for esports. This is Dom's take on whether he considers streaming Rocket League a successful endeavor.
I do, on two fronts. The audience numbers were good. You know, there was definitely an audience that wanted to consume esports, you know, an audience that we normally reach out to with more traditional sports. But also, it helped establish a relationship with Twitch, which is huge in the market in streaming esports. They've got a massive audience, and once you can, you know, foster a relationship with a partner with that kind of gravitas and that kind of audience, it can only mean beneficial things.
And then we decided to ask him, in his professional opinion, of course, are esports sports?
Personally, and like you just reiterated, I don't necessarily think so. Just because from my definition, I think there has to be some kind of athletic, physical component to a sport itself. But I will say that I don't think that necessarily should mean anything if someone doesn't think it's a sport. Like, that doesn't mean it's not compelling, it doesn't mean it's not entertaining, and it doesn't mean it's not competitive. It's just, you know, it's, in my opinion, it's not a sport. But, you know, that's, I don't think that's a negative in any way.
All right, folks, it's postmortem time again.
I know I learned a hell of a lot today.
I learned a lot, too. For instance, I learned that Dom thinks you're wrong.
I'm wrong?
You are wrong, yes.
Wow, that's an attack, man, because I feel that I'm justified in my view for after listening to Dom.
Well, how about we state our points? Point one, Dom said esports are not sports.
Well, point two, I guess, would be esports itself is making NBC a lot of money. And when you look at it in terms of entertainment, as he so laid out, sports make a lot of money as well. And because NBC streaming Rocket League generated so much buzz and business between them and Twitch, that's an entire new stream of revenue that they would not have otherwise had without esports. Now, because sports also bring in a lot of money through advertising and all sorts of things in the physical world, at least, an esport and a sport, the only real difference between the two is the game being played, because they both perform a capitalist function in our society. They earn a shit ton of money. People are happy. So let them be considered the same thing.
Still not sure about whether their similarities unite them. But how about this? Being that Dom, which this didn't come out in the interview, is a former football player.
Oh, snap.
That's right.
That means he could kill me.
Yeah. Yeah, you would not fare very well. But being that Dom was a former football player, I think it's a good idea to bring in an esports player.
We definitely need to hear from an actual player.
I think that would settle this debate finally.
Next, we have Leo Sakio, who is a player, coach, and analyst that lives and breeds League of Legends. He also happens to be our resident League of Legends expert. And first, we ask Leo what an average day is like for a pro esports player.
I mean, there are some intricacies, and it depends from organization to organization, but generally speaking, the practice schedule, or at least the part of the day that's scheduled out for them, usually involves a scrim set that will probably take, I don't know, roughly 6 hours, 8 hours, and they will have these personal chefs that will cook these meals, and it's part of the concept of the healthy body, healthy mind. Since you're spending so much time playing this game, you are sitting down for a long amount of time, you're using your wrist a lot, so they do a number of things to just make sure physical health is good. So they'll have the chef to make sure there's appropriate food, they will have wrist exercises, things of that nature.
So given the amount of money pouring into esports, we wanted to address how the economics work on the team level.
So it's interesting in its intricacy. Now that it's taken Storm and it is as popular as it is, and meanwhile it's been popular across the world the entire time, it just hasn't gotten many mainstream recognition. Since it was called an esport, there was a lot of controversy over the fact that, hey, this isn't really a sport. Is it really a sport? And a lot of programs, you know, they would have people on mainstream media that would either laugh it off or be for it. And there was always that great debate. But now that it is getting the recognition, there are things that are being implemented, like in North America, the franchising system, which will enable teams to stay for an allotted amount of time unless they're exceptionally poor to their players or continuously last place without making any discernible effort to change that for themselves or their players. And largely, it's changed the entire model. Before, it was you win the split, then you win a certain amount of money. And obviously, if you're at the top of the table, you get rewarded in different ways. Now, with this locked in, it's going to have more long-term sponsorships, which could potentially net teams more money. Revenue sharing from Riot Games themselves towards the teams that are franchised so that they'll have more money. And to be quite honest with you, before this franchising system, the reason it exists is actually the initiative of the team owners requesting it. Because before then, it was actually common for League of Legends teams to lose money.
Well, we've heard from all three of our interview subjects, and we're at the tail end of our journey. So, Chris, do you still think esports is not a sport?
Well, Phil, you make valid points, you put up a valiant effort, and you are the knight in shining armor of esports advocates. That being said, I'm sticking to my guns here and siding with two of our interview subjects who said that esports are not sports. But I did find it telling that Leo did not answer the question.
Well, there's a reason for that, I feel. And that is, at the end of the day, these players, they don't really give a shit. They don't have to. They wake up, they go to sleep, and in between all that time is the game that they play professionally.
So you're saying whether or not they're athletes or playing a sport means very little to them.
Why should it? They have so many other things to worry about. They have to worry about playing. They have to worry about the opponents that they're facing in the match. They have to worry about training their hands and their eye coordination. It's just a crazy stressful time. The entire thing, you're just locked into the zone training.
While a chef is preparing food for you.
While a chef is preparing well-healthy meals for you. But that's what kind of sticks out to me, because if you're going through all of this effort for a genre of gaming that's funneling money that rivals physical sports, it may as well just be the same thing. Like, these players may as well be athletes. And I suspect that at the end of the day, whether or not society really accepts them as such is irrelevant. Unless it comes to an important matter of, like, getting a scholarship.
Or making a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, esports players and athletes and everyone in between, Infinity Media Podcast is still deadlocked when it comes to whether or not esports are sports. Now, you might say adding another host would break the tie, but we'd tell you, you're kind of missing the point. The economics and societal habits are comparable between these two industries, and you've heard from some extremely credible sources from all sides of this debate. If Bill and I have done our job in holding your attention in these 13 some odd minutes, you're now more than qualified to make your own informed decision. What we hope we've done is spark a debate that passes on to you, our listeners. So feel free to reach out on infinitymediapodcast.com. Let us know if you think esports should indeed be considered sports, or if we missed anything. Until then, this has been Infinity Media Podcast, Episode 1. Thank you for listening. We'd like to thank our interview subjects, Max Mallow, editor at Double Tap, Dominic Ridgard, associate producer at NBC Sports, and lastly, Leo Sukiyo, who's probably playing League of Legends right now.
Music for the show has been done by Nick Kielas of Another Astronaut. So thanks a lot, Nick.